Come on, it's a progressive thing now. I'm not just a member. Oh, see, I guess I'm the only one, right? You see, here's what I've learned. We get to the message in a minute. I've learned that people are comfortable, and they like to stay comfortable being churchy. But when it comes now to what Jesus and Paul declared who you are, that brings you out of your comfort zone. So let's try that again. I'm not just a member. See, you graduate, it's progressive. You go from members, and then when you enter in, you become servants, and then you become sons and daughters. And then after you become sons and daughters, you become citizens. And then after that, you become kings and priests. Are we in the house now? Hallelujah. So we're going to stay in this vein. And there's a reason why God has us in this place. And so as we continue to now embellish, unlock some truths, we're hoping and praying that your eyes, as Paul said in Ephesians, that your eyes of understanding will be enlightened. Let me say that again. That our eyes, and they were singing about it, of understanding will be enlightened. And so as we look to the word once again, our foundation scripture, if you don't mind, our foundation scripture is going to be coming from the Gospel of Luke. This is where we had been starting off, and so we're in part two. We're going to start at Luke chapter number 4, and then we'll transition over to Acts chapter 1. So let me just go back and let's rehearse that, what our foundation scripture was, beginning at verse 43 in Luke Gospel chapter 4. For the word of the Lord says, but he said, now he's talking about, who is he? He is who? This is Jesus now talking. And he said to them, pay close attention now. I must. Now, when you see that word must, it says something to you. It's not a statement of confusion. It's not a statement of doubt, but it is a statement of commitment. He said, I must, watch this now, preach. I must proclaim the kingdom of God to the other city also, because of this purpose. Now, this is Jesus now speaking. Because of this purpose, I have been sent. Now, I declared to you all on the last time we were speaking that Jesus never preached himself. Y'all with me? But he did preach the kingdom. And so even though they were trying to box him in and keep him right where he was making it known that I must take what I was sent to do, not just to you, but to other cities as well. So he laid down his foundation of his purpose, and that is to preach, proclaim, to teach, and to demonstrate this message of the kingdom of God. Y'all with me so far? That's our foundation. Now let's go over to Acts chapter 1. I share with you all that his message was not only a continuity, but it was also a demonstration of how he was consistent in his message. And it followed him for his 3.5 years. And so it was a succession, meaning it was then passed on not only to him, but to his disciples, to the apostles, and then to even us today. But the question is, how did we get away from that? Big question. How did the church, the ecclesia, the called out ones, get away from the foundation by which he said to go and take this message into the uttermost part of the world? Acts chapter 1, notice how he the word of the Lord begins to unfold as Luke began to expound upon it. He said, the former account that I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began to do and teach. What did Jesus do and began to teach? Until the day in which he was taken up. He's talking about after his resurrection. After he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to whom? The apostles whom he had chosen. And to whom he also presented himself, watch this now, alive after suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days and speaking of what, Jesus? Of the things pertaining to what, Jesus? The kingdom of God. So 40 days after his resurrection, he still did not preach Jesus. But he did preach what? The kingdom of God. Now, I share with you all, the reason why we're here is because you're being re-identified. We're being re-identified as to who we are based upon what he was preaching. Y'all with me so far? And so just a recap, we begin to lay the foundation that the word kingdom comes from a dual word, king meaning one having authority, rule, and reigning. Dom is a word that simply means territory, or one having territory or occupying territory. And so the message of the kingdom is really a message of you reigning and ruling over territory. Did you not know your body was a territory taken out from the earth? See, you missed it. And because of that, you have rule and reign over the things that come against you. Uh-oh, I see right now, y'all gonna have me preach this thing. You have rule and reign over the things that comes up against you. And such that when we rise up daily, the psalmist said, command your day. That's taking rule. That's taking authority over. So you have authority to rise up, and you feel, you may feel bad, but as you rise up, you know what? My day is going to be blessed. My day is going to be filled with joy. My day is going to be filled. And see, this is you taking authority. Are we in the house? And so as we begin now to unlock some of these truths, we talked about that there were three things or keys or principles that I wanted to just kind of lay out to you as it relates to that authority. And I use my brother here as an example. I literally gave him my keys and was demonstrating how if I gave him my keys, even though I gave him the keys, I asked him the question, go to my house and get me a pop. Okay? Even though he had the keys, he had no idea where I lived. He had no idea that even if he got there, which key would unlock what door. And so these are some of the things that we must understand as it relates to the kingdom of God, that there are certain keys that have that will give you certain access once you have entered in. Okay? And so even though we can come in as a servant and be functioning at the level of a servant did not know what was in the master's house. That's what Jesus said. So we transition over into sonship. So if I gave my keys to my son or my daughter, they know exactly what's in the refrigerator once they got there. They have access to it. Look at somebody and say, you grow. All right, so we talked about the authority as being one of the keys that we must understand that we have gained, having permission, we have rights, we have gained power to be able to do something. Every day we are to be able to rise up with this understanding that he has given us authority over some things that will come into our life, that we have a right to be able to exercise that authority such that our days is not filled with what our adversary would want it to be filled with. So many times, many of us who's fighting the devil, wait a minute, you're not fighting the devil. And this is what we must understand, that number one, he's defeated. But you have to take your authority and stand in your position. And knowing where you are seated, as they were singing, in heavenly places. And as long as we don't have that mindset, then we will constantly, well, I'm fighting the devil. How you doing? Well, the devil's busy. Well, what about you? Where are you at? What position have you put yourself? Are we in a house? And so we moved in from the position of authority. Then I shared with you all how then once we come to that understanding, then it's imperative that we seek priority. First, what? The kingdom of God. In other words, we have to realize that our priorities have to be in order. And so our first priority is to seek the kingdom of God. Now, I shared with you all that that word seek is very vital. Because sometimes we look at that word and we don't understand the context of it means that when you're seeking, you're asking questions. You're asking God, what should I do? You're asking God, how should I do it? You're asking God, where do I go? In other words, when you're rising up and or even going throughout your day and you're seeking God and you're seeking answers, you're asking questions. God will reveal. As a matter of fact, he can use anything and anybody to help. He'll cause a stranger to come into your life and give you your answer. Hello, somebody. I know that to be true. And so we set priorities. Then the last point we made as it relates to the key, and then we'll move on, was we need to have, watch this now, our prayer life, prayer as a foundation. And we use the word psukemae. I gave y'all a Greek word. Say that with me, psukemae. It means to make a vow in the direction of. In other words, when you pray, you're not praying in the mist. You're not praying all over the place. You literally have got a target, shall I let him? Whoo, yeah. You're aiming at it. And you're aiming at that target in such a way that your focus is not over here and it's not over there, but your focus is right there. And so when we pray and have that understanding, then we can then move into different realms. But yet we have to understand that when he did give this method or methodology of how to pray, then we must understand how to gain access while we're praying. And one of the things that we brought out about that is too many times we go in thinking, oh, let me just tell him about my problems. No. When the disciples came and asked him, teach us to pray. On two separate occasions, 2 years apart, Jesus gave the identical answer to both. And the first thing he said, the first thing that you must do when you pray is what? Our Father. Why is it that when we pray sometimes, the first thing, my problem? Oh, so you missed it. So he said the first thing to enter into his presence as citizens, sons and daughters, is to acknowledge him. Where is he at? In heaven. So it gives us an understanding that you're making a communication link between earth and whom? Heaven. He said, when you pray, you acknowledge him who is in heaven. Then he said, hallow or praise his name. And we said that the word hallow means praise. We cannot enter into the Father's presence without first praising him. Oh, see, y'all missed it. Again, sometimes, and I've done it myself, trying to get into the presence of the Father, acknowledging my problems is not getting to his presence first. Y'all there? So it's important that I'm entering in, praising him Once I'm praising him, I'm moving. It's a progressive thing. Hallowed be his what? His name. In other words, you're praising his name, his nature, his character, his authority. Well, who is his name? In the Old Testament, they called him Jehovah Nissi, Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Enkadis, Jehovah Tiskanu, and all of those Hebraic and Aramaic names. But we have a name that encompasses all of those names. And that name is Jesus. So as we're praying and we're entering into his presence, then watch this. He said, focus on the kingdom. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. So now we have established our authority. We have established our priority. Now we have established, watch this now, our prayer. So let's go a little bit farther. Amen. So today, the Lord has really, once again, allowed me to take it just a little bit farther so that we can unpack this thing further. Amen. I want to read something to you that I came across, and I thought it was pretty interesting. It says that the Duke of Wellington, since we're talking kingdom now, remained to take his communion at his local church. And a very poor man went up to the opposite side of the aisle, and he was reaching the communion table. And this man knelt down close by the Duke on the other side. But all of a sudden, someone came and touched the poor man on the shoulder and whispered to him to move farther away from the Duke, or to arise and wait until the Duke had received his bread and wine. You ought to see this picture here. But the eagle eye and the quick ear of the great commander caught the meaning of that touch. In other words, when this man came and he kind of stood beside the Duke and he touched him as he was about to take his communion, they wanted to usher the man away from the Duke because of the protocol. It was protocol that they were not supposed to get close to the Duke because of his royalty. Okay? And so being that the Duke had the eagle eye and the quick ear of the great commander, caught the meaning of that touch and that whisper, he grabbed hold to the old man's hand and held it to prevent him from rising. And in a reverential undertone, but mostly distinct, said to him, "Do not move, for we are all equal here." Now, I read that because it's a declaration of what is needed in what we deem today as one of the keys into the kingdom of God. And we'll talk about that. And so many times as we will continue to walk and get a understanding of the kingdom, there are some other keys that we need to be aware of that is going to continue to allow us to move forward into what God is not only releasing it to our hearing. And one of those keys, and please hear me, is hunger. Are you hungry? Because many times we're not advancing in what God would have us to advance in as it relates to the assignment that has been given to you, or what you're seeking God for may require you to be hungry. And I'm not just talking about the natural hunger that we oftentimes feel. You all know that you can tell if somebody is hungry or not. You will hear their stomach growling. Well, there is a spiritual hunger that coincides with you and I in the kingdom that we too must be hungry. In other words, do you or have you come to that understanding that you're longing for, that you're seeking after with all that you have in order to carry out the purpose and plan that God has for you or the assignment that he has for you? Are you really hungry? When Jesus started his ministry, in the book of Luke in chapter 4, the Bible says that he was led up to the wilderness by whom? The Spirit. And when he entered in for 40 days and 40 nights, he fasted, he prayed. And I can imagine that after 40 days and 40 nights, he was extremely what? Hungry. In other words, it was part of his preparation for his ministry. Oh, y'all missed it. Because of the hunger, it was then a temptation that Satan went after because he knew that he was hungry. And if he could get him out of that, he may have the ability to forfeit his assignment. Oh, y'all even hearing me? So he needed hunger to help propel him in his assignment. Stay with me. So hunger, whether we know it or not, is a preparation. We have to hunger and we have to thirst. After what? Righteousness. So if fasting is part of becoming or increasing our hunger in the natural, fasting also increases our hunger in the in the spirit. So it's important that we have this understanding how vital it is to stay hungry. That don't mean that you have to eat, but be hungry enough to consistently seek after, go after. Are we in the house? So it's important that we remain hungry. We understand that it was part of the preparation. Well, let's go here. Matthew chapter 5. Let me put it to you. In verse number 1, let's go there, Matthew 5. It says, after seeing the multitude, Jesus went where? Up to the mountain, and when he was seated, his disciples came to him. Then he opened his mouth, and what did he begin to do? He began to teach them, saying, blessed are whom? Are the poor in spirit, for theirs is what? The kingdom in heaven. Can we go to the next verse? That was it. Okay, let me. Verse 5. Okay, I'll finish reading it. It said, blessed are, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Verse 4 said, blessed are those who what? Mourn, for they shall be what? Comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Verse 6. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for what? Righteousness. Now, I want to stop right there because it's very important that we grab hold to this part where he said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. That word is there for a reason, righteousness. It's there for a reason because now he's making reference to the kingdom. Chew on that for a minute. He said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Romans chapter 14, let's go there, verse 17. Romans chapter 14 and verse 17 says this, the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. In other words, it is not something physical that you're going to be able to put your hands on. This is Paul talking now. But it is the what? The joy and the peace and the what? The joy and the peace and the what? The joy and the peace and the what? Why did Jesus use that word righteousness? In other words, he said, blessed, oh, thank you, Holy Spirit, are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. Righteousness doesn't mean that you are don't wear long skirts or you don't have makeup on and all that. No. Righteousness means that he's putting you back in your right position that you was when you fell in the garden. Oh, y'all missing this thing. Righteousness means that he has put you back in the position by which you had fallen from, but now that you are back to where you had fallen from, now you're considered righteous. And it's not based upon something you done, but it was based upon something he did. So you can talk about me all you want to. I'm the righteousness. I'm in right standing. So when the enemy comes and try to tell you that you're not worthy, step into your position that Jesus gave back to you. And this is what happens to many saints. Too many believers are getting defeated because they don't know where he put them. Y'all ain't hearing me today. We're getting defeated because we have lost what he said you are. Y'all got it? Do I have to, do we need to chew on it some more? Because it's important that if we don't grab hold to this, we'll stay churchy. You'll stay churchy. You'll be up one week and the next week, what happened? You were praising God. All of a sudden, the enemy saw you praising and you walked out the door and he said, pow! Get back to where you was. Get back to how you was thinking. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Because it's important that we grab hold to that. So it's vital that we remain what? Hungry. We remain hungry because hunger will cause you to seek after righteousness. Amen? All right. So if we're moving in this vein of staying hungry, that doesn't mean that we are to be arrogant. Uh-oh. See, we got to be careful now because a lot of times when you're walking in kingdom, sometimes it appears like arrogance. There's a difference between arrogance and confidence. Oh, my God. Can I preach over here? See, you have to be careful now. So we have to now understand some of the things that Jesus now is releasing as he's preaching for these 3 days in what is called the Beatitudes. Okay? So now he's moving them. And it's about 5,000 people sitting out. And they're hearing this. And they're like, wow. But here's the thing, y'all. We must allow humility. Let me say that again. Let me say it. We must allow the power of humility. Yeah, that's it. The power of humility to govern our life, our walk. Y'all got that so far? We have to allow it. Because if we're going to be used, please hear me, by the government of heaven, that's what the church is representing. If we're going to be used by the government of heaven, let's go to Mark chapter 10. Then this is the demonstration that Jesus said that we must identify with. The children are gone. So, all right, Mika, you remind me of a little child. You're so little. Come on. Come on. All right. Mark chapter 10. The disciples came and they saw the children trying to gather around Jesus. And, you know, they had been walking with him for some time. Now, you know how saints can get. You start walking with Jesus, all of a sudden you think you got it all and you don't want nobody to touch him but you. Uh-oh. And sometimes, y'all know how church folk can get now. Ain't nobody got Jesus but them. And so they don't want nobody to have Jesus but them unless they give permission for them to have Jesus. All right. We got that clear. Ain't no church folk in here, right? And if you is, we come on the other side. All right. So here is what transpired. The little children was drawn to Jesus. And you know, sometimes we want to hide the kids in the back. them up to the front every now and then. Let them express. So the little children was trying to get to Jesus, and the disciples tried to forbid them. They brought the little children to him that he might what? Touch them. Then it goes on and say, but the disciples, those who were following him, those who saw what he was doing, they said no. In other words, rebuked those who brought them. Next verse. But when Jesus saw it, watch this now, he was greatly displeased and said to them, let the little children come to me. Pay close attention now. And do not forbid them. For of such is what? The kingdom of what? Jesus was really demonstrating humility. When you look at a child is the most humble person. They move and act in humility. Oh yeah, sometimes they can act out, but 2 hours later they'll be the best friends. They won't hold grudges like we will hold grudges. In other words, humility is a lowliness of mind, recognizing that you need someone greater than yourself. Are y'all with me? And so he demonstrated by allowing this child as a point of interest as well as a physical sight, this is how you should respond when it comes down to the kingdom. You have power, but you must understand that there is a greater power that you must stay in contact with. See, humility is really power under control. You can sit down. Let me say that again. Y'all get that? See, I done seen a lot of folks walk around with their head down. That's not humility. And will cuss you out the moment you step on their toe. Oh, that's a humble man. That's a humble woman. They walk with their head down. No. Humility is understanding that there is a greater authority that you are accountable to, that has given you and granted you authority and power. But if you allow your arrogance to step in front of that, then you step out of that realm of humility. A child is dependent upon their parent. In other words, if we get to the place and allow this understanding of the kingdom of God to take you to a realm or a place where you're arrogant and can't nobody touch you, something's wrong. Can I help you? Jesus did not need an armor bearer. Now, I know I'm kicking over some sacred cows now. I don't need one. Why do you need an armor bearer? Jesus didn't need one. Y'all seeing the difference? When we allow ourselves to be so exalted to a position that we're not really positioning ourselves in humility, here's the thing, we lose power. You're missing it. Humility is power. But if you exalt yourself above humility, you lose power. Y'all got it? Can I go on? We there? So we have to understand that he used this example for us to be able to identify. Well, here's another example, and we probably can connect with this one. Saul and David. We all know the story of King Saul and David, right? King Saul was king. He was exalted. He was, what women would say, he was fine, good looking, tall, and handsome. Right? But when he was given an assignment, God anointed him too. He was anointed. When he was given an assignment, and that assignment was something that he was supposed to withhold from and allow somebody else to carry out, arrogance stepped in. And he went ahead and did the assignment. He didn't stay humble. He didn't allow himself to restrain himself. And because of that, what happened? He lost power. He lost his position. He lost his authority. David, on the other hand, who also committed a grievous act. But the difference between the two is that when Saul was approached by the prophet Samuel, Saul began to, instead of just saying, you know what, I messed up. He said, no, the people. The people did it. Blame the people instead of just humbling himself and getting back in position. No, he said the people. See the difference? But when David was approached by the prophet Nathan, Nathan began to say, hey, this is you who did that. And I ain't going to go through the whole story. But the point is, David then humbled himself to such a degree he began to write even about it. Psalm 51 is a good declaration of what he said that put him in the position of not being arrogant. See the difference? So we must understand that humility, please hear me, click, click, unlock some things in the kingdom. And a lot of people can't get in into certain realms and certain areas and break certain yokes and destroy certain things off of their life because, Lord Jesus, they're using the wrong key. And they're trying to unlock, and this key that they're using is arrogance when you need humility. Are we in the house? All right, so we got that. So we have to be free from that and understand that true humility is power, but it's power under control. Lastly, Jesus also, when it comes now to the kingdom, he always would check into heaven, which was always an indication that he was humbling himself to that which was greater. He always would be seen praying, letting his disciples know that this is how I stay in communication. This is how I stay in humility. It's posturing myself, seeking. He said, I never do anything except, well, let me show you in scripture. Let's go to John chapter 5, verse 30. Let's do it, because I have to show you in scripture why he was demonstrating and saying the things that he was saying. He said in John chapter 5, verse 30, and this is Jesus talking now. He said, I can of myself. This is Jesus, our Savior now. I can of myself do nothing. Tell me that ain't humility. See, when we get to that place of knowing we can't do nothing of ourselves, Jesus said, I can do nothing of myself. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is righteous. So Jesus is letting us know that before he make a move, he check in. Uh-oh. Well, I'm just going to give you a piece of my mind. You better check in. I'm just going to tell them that, you know what, a lot of folks done lost their positions on jobs and other things that God had given to them. But because they refused to check in, and you know anger can cause a whole lot of havoc, and you can lose a whole lot of stuff. But you can avoid it if you just checked in. Y'all seeing the difference here? That's humility. See, and the enemy is always trying to make you angrier. Come on now. I know I ain't the only one. He's always, and he'll use anybody, and sometimes it's the ones closest to you. Ooh, Lord Jesus, that he would, and so you step over into this realm of anger. The Bible said, be angry, but what? Don't go cussing nobody out because you're angry. And then you wondering why, Lord, I can't get this. Wait a minute. You done told your boss, you done told your husband, your wife, you done. Oh. And you whining why stuff is being put on the back burner. We in the house. Can I move on? We got this. So humility is what? Power under control. Remember that. That's power under control. If you ever want to, thank you, Holy Spirit. I'll leave that one alone. All right. Okay. Last point. Okay. So what? So we have our righteousness. We have our hunger. We have humility. The last one that the Lord wanted me to present to you today is a pure heart. Talk about that. One of the most precious metal on the face of the earth is what? Gold. Gold. Matter of fact, Bishop Duku kind of shared a little bit on it last week. Gold, being that it's one of the most precious metals on the face of the earth, can only be acquired when you go deep beneath to get it. Remember that? But once it is mined, meaning that it's extracted from the earth, it has to go through a purification process. Right? Ladies, y'all got all these gold rings, bling blings, and all of that, right? So it has to go through this purification process. And it's called, in the Old Testament, an assayer would take the gold and he would put it in a furnace. And that gold would then be melted down in such a way that all the impurities that's in that gold would rise up to the top. With me so far? And once that impurity rises up to the top, he would then scoop that impurities off and continue to reheat it until all the impurities is burned off. Well, that's how that process works with you and I. God wants us to have a pure heart. As a matter of fact, sometimes we go through the furnace of affliction to get us to that place where these things are being burnt off. Because in the kingdom of God, the roads are gold. Gold is seen all through heaven. So if that being the case, that which is in heaven should be also in what? You and I. If we're representing the kingdom of God, which means that there has to be some purity associated with our life if we're representing the kingdom. Are y'all with me? Are y'all as we represent the kingdom of God? So in the process of getting us there, when you're going through the fire, it shall not burn you. You'll see Isaiah 43. It will not burn you, but what's happening is the stuff that's in you is rising up out of you. Oh, you see, I'm trying not to preach. I was told to teach. The stuff that is in you is rising up. So it's necessary to go through some of the fire. Don't try to run from it because it's purifying you. You want to know how I know? Because some say that my God, help me here, Lord. He said that the eyes of the Lord is running to and fro. Did you know that God is always looking for somebody whose heart has been made perfect? That word perfect means that he's looking for somebody who's willing to be pure enough that he can show off to. I don't know about you, but he wants to show you off. But if we got so much stuff in us, let me bag up. All right, so it's a purification process that if we're not careful, it will hinder you. Y'all catch that? If you don't want to go through the process, but you want all the promises, uh-oh. You want the promise, but you don't want the process. You don't want the fire. then your prayers would become hindered. Stay with me now. And so as we're going through this process, it's necessary that we allow ourselves to be placed in this place where he's purifying, what's this now, what? Our heart. Not this physical heart. Let's go deeper now. Your subconscious. Now we're talking here. This is where the kingdom is. Your subconscious. Beneath your soul is your subconscious. Your soul is what? Your mind, will, and your emotion. Beneath that is your subconscious. That's your heart. That's going to tell on you. Y'all got me? So we need to understand that while he's working this thing out, getting some of the stuff out of us, it's going deep. Because gold is found deep in beneath the earth. The last time I heard that you was formed from where? Y'all got it? From the earth. And because of that, he has to go what? Deep inside of us to purify our hearts. We there? Y'all getting this? I don't want to move on until you got it now. Look at somebody and say, now I know why I'm going through. All right, now. If we don't, here's the thing now. It'll be difficult for you to hear God. A lot of people say, why can't I hear God? I'm not hearing him like I want to hear. Maybe you stepped out of the process. Because remember, he's taking dross or anything that will hinder your purification. So when you're not able to hear or you're not getting answers, maybe an indication that you said, you know what? God, I don't want this. You're silently, subconsciously saying, this ain't what I want. Finish the process. Because you're going to come forth like gold. Seeing this. Once that happened, and then I'm going to close. I close. Matthew 5 and 8 said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see. Now, it's interesting that he uses this word, sir. He said that they shall see, not just with the natural eye. See, this is where we have to kind of get a little spiritual a little bit. He's not just talking about the natural eye of seeing God. No man has seen God. But he's saying spiritually, you will see the things of God. The rule, the reign, the authority, the answers that he has provided. That's what we will see. Come on, let's give God some praise. Hallelujah. I pray that we have gleaned from this.